All righty. First things first, our exam will be, of course, next week, but it'll be on chapters 9 through 11 in the Lives of Honorable Men. Chapters 9 through 11. We were together last week. We were talking about the correct mental attitudes for covenant, and I believe we were getting to number five. And I started number five, didn't get a chance to finish it. Number five is that we partake in the same grace that will enable us to finish the assignment that is set before us. So we partake in the same grace as those we are in covenant with. If you would, turn me to Philippians 1. Now, this is very important that we understand this, understand this particular mental attitude that we ought to have, because without grace, we can do nothing for God. Now, let's we talked about this many times in this class. I hope you listen to me, Internet. We talked about this again and again in this class about the proper definition of grace. Because of religion and man just defining grace, we have a tendency to relegate grace to only something that covers sin. But grace is much more than that. Grace is, and to not to oversimplify, but yet I want to simplify it so you can understand why grace is needed. Mm-hmm. And we talked about this before. Grace, another word to use for grace is empower. Mm-hmm. So everywhere you see the word grace, you can use the word empower. All right. So we have to be partakers of the grace of who we are in covenant with in order to help complete, in order for us to complete our part of the assignment. All right. So once again, we're not trying to make the Bible fit in the world system. All right. We're not trying to make biblical principles fit in the world system. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is at hand, meaning there's another set of rules that are being established by which you can live your life by. But you're going to need grace to do it. You're going to have to be empowered to do it, because you're not going to be able to do it on your own. So that's the purpose of being connected to our leaders, to our apostles, our pastors, apostolic pastors, so that we can be a partaker of the same power or empowerment that they're partaking of. So whatever they are accomplishing in their circle of influence, we're able to accomplish in our circle of influence. Paul made a very profound statement in Philippians, the first chapter. Watch this. Look at verse 7. He said, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers. And look what he said. He said, my grace. Notice he didn't say God's grace. He was talking about his grace. So, other words, what he was saying is, for those that are connected to what I'm called to do, you will not be able to get it accomplished unless you're a partaker of the same grace that I'm riding in, that I'm walking in, that I'm flowing in. And the reason for that is that so that divine order can be maintained. Are you seeing this? And so what happens is today's religions and denominations do not have this divine order in place. So that's why you see a lot of people not walking in graces. They believe God. They love God. They trying to obey the word, but it's that empowerment. See, what we must understand is that God is not going to empower us just for the sake of empowering us. He's only going to empower us when we commit our lives to what he's asked us to do. And you say, well, that's not the way it should be. Well, in the garden, that's why the tree was there. Because you can have a choice. You don't have to. Nobody, God, see, one of the things I love about the apostolic is not, does not operate off of fear. It does not operate off of demands. It operates off of being willing. If you're willing and obedient, you should eat the good of the land. It's not a punishment system. The apostolic is a system of I'm choosing to do this. I'm choosing to submit my life. I'm choosing to yield my life. I'm choosing to do this. That way, because you're choosing to do this, now not only will God empower you, but now you're walking in the greatest force that ever exists, and that's love. Because when you choose to do something, it's your choice. You're not being forced. So something else has to be motivating you. Amen. Is that making sense? So we see that Ruth became a partaker of Naomi's grace. Yes, sir. To the point to where it was because of Ruth's obedience to Naomi that she was able to restore all of Naomi's land. Because she was able, listen, simple. She was able to follow the instructions of Naomi. Because she followed the instructions of Naomi, she not only got blessed, but restored everything Naomi had. So by her being a partaker of Naomi's grace, it opens the door for everybody. So when we are partakers of our leader's grace, it opens the door for everybody who wants to walk through, can walk through. See, once again, the apostolic and you walking with God, it was after you got born again, it was no longer about you. Yes, sir. Listen to that statement again. After you got born again, it's no longer about you. Yes, sir. All before you was born again, you a sinner. It's all about you. God is trying to get your attention. God is focusing his energy on you. But after you get born again, it's no longer, God don't have to focus his attention on me. Because I now understand that when I focus my attention on him, he automatically focuses on me. Is this making sense? So that's what Matthew 6:33 comes in at. That I hope you listen to that. When I seek first the kingdom and doing it his way right, he said he's going to add all these things to me. So now it becomes a me. It becomes, instead of God having to pursue me, I'm now pursuing him. Is that making sense? So being a partaker of our leader's grace will empower us to live life easier. So now we're going to our businesses, into our jobs, dealing with our families, dealing with coworkers. It'll be easier to do because now we're operating from a place of grace. We're operating from a place where we're empowered. Go to Matthew 5. Verse 5, Matthew 5:5. Look what it says. It said, blessed are the meek, for they shall what? Inherit the earth. Meek is just talking about harnessed power. So because I'm a partaker of the grace that my leader walks in, God is empowering me to do so. I don't have to prove anything to anybody. I don't have to prove on my job, in my business, that I'm overcoming the world. Because when I'm partaker of this grace, I'm empowered. I can stand by, obey God, and watch God do what he needs to do. Amen. Because my obedience opens the door for God to enter into the earth realm. If I'm disobedient, God can't come in. Are y'all seeing this? So by being a partaker of the grace, obeying God, That means this empowerment that's on the inside of me is now being released. So it will affect everything around me. That's what happened to Ruth. Ruth was a partaker of Naomi's grace. When she followed Naomi's instructions, the empowerment that was on the inside of her began to affect her world around her. That same thing is available to you. It's available to you that when you allow God to empower you, a partaker of the grace. Partaker of the grace means I feel the way my leader feels. I want the same thing my leader wants. I want the same results that he or she wants. When I do that, it opens the empowerment that is inside of me. I'm a partaker of the grace. It allows it to affect my surroundings. So I don't have to worry about whether I'm getting messed over or not. It doesn't matter if somebody's trying to abuse me. Because sometimes, oh Lord, thank you, Jesus. A lot of times, Christians think that being a Christian and totally walking with God is a utopia world. That's not the case. That's not the case. Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. Now, if Jesus is telling me take up this cross, I'm going to need some grace. When Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me, Jesus was signaling to us that there were going to be some rough patches ahead.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Because if you want me to take up the cross, Jesus, I see what happened to you when you took up your cross. Jesus, so you telling me take up my cross? So that means there's some times where I'm going to be going or led. Matthew's the fourth chapter. See, this is proof here that our Christian walk is not going to be a utopia and we have to be partakers of grace. In Matthew, the fourth chapter, the first verse, what it says, and Jesus was what?
Led
of the who?
Of the Spirit.
Who led him?
Spirit.
Jesus was led of the Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit, into the wilderness. Why? Jesus was led into the wilderness for the sole purpose of being tempted of the devil. Now, the wonderful thing about this and to show the omnipotence of God, God was at that moment really playing with Satan. Mm-hmm. Playing with him. Mm-hmm. Saying, Holy Spirit, lead my son into the wilderness. Make him go in the wilderness. Tell him I want to go in the wilderness because I'm going to send Satan over there to tempt him. Because I'm going to empower him on how to deal with the enemy. So a lot of times for us, We're trying to figure out what we did wrong. What am I not doing right? Why is this happening to me? That's the wrong question. Not why is this happening to me? Why, not even watch this. Even if you might have done something, the question is not why. The question is now, God, that we are here, what do you want me to do?
Amen.
See, God is not ever concerned about your past. He's only concerned about your present.
Yes.
So that you can demand what's going to happen in your future.
Amen.
This is why you need to be a partaker of your leader's grace. Because just the same reason, the same way that your leader being apostolic is really about territorial issues. So your leader apostolically has jurisdiction in a certain territory. So if I'm partaker of that grace, wherever God has placed me, whatever business I'm in, whatever job I'm working on, when I walk into that particular area, because I'm apostolic and a partaker of that grace, now I have control in that jurisdiction. What that means, that spiritual jurisdiction. Any demon that's in that area has got to deal with me.
Yeah. Amen.
So demons have a lot of times, most of the times, deal with people. So don't begin to just think that when somebody's coming against you on your job, in your business, in your family, that it's just It's just by accident. It's not by accident. It's you being placed there so that the grace that's on the inside of you can be released to that surrounding. I hope you listen to that, internet. So now you don't have to go around wondering, why is this happening to me? The 23rd Psalm, he say, I will lead you in the valley of the shadow of death. And you will. The valley of the shadow of death. Not the valley of death. The shadow of death. You will fear no evil. He say, for my rod, my staff, they comfort you. That's mercy and grace. So stop looking at unfavorable situations. Just stop looking at them just as, why is this happening to me? If I'm going to be apostolic, that means that divine order has to be set in my surroundings. So you can expect that you're going to be led by the Spirit into some situations. You're going to be led by the Spirit into some tough situations that you're going to have to sit back and allow the grace of God to cover you. Sometimes you're going to sit back and say, Lord, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. Romans 8:28 going to have to come up. All things work together according to those who are, that's the most important part, those that are called according to his purpose and those that love him. That's when you have to realize that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. See, a lot of people, see, all those are apostolic scriptures. No weapon is going to be formed against you just because you. No weapon is going to be formed against you because you're walking where God wants you to go. And anything that tries to stop you, gonna fail. Anybody that comes against you, gonna fail. Sometimes God allows people to touch you. See, we gotta get used to that. We have to get used to it. Sometimes God allows people to touch them because he got to deal with something. And so if he don't have somebody that's righteous or apostolic in the place, that knows divine order, God don't have permission to come deal with nothing. God did not have permission to deal with the Egyptians until Moses showed up. When Moses showed up and started obeying God, because the reason, you go back and read Exodus 1. The reason why the reason why the Israelites got in trouble is because they stopped obeying God. It says Joseph died and nobody came after Joseph. Joseph was the one that was causing them to be obedient. So because nobody was there to hear the voice of God and be obedient, they fell in slavery. And they stayed in slavery until somebody come along that was willing to obey God. So sometimes God puts you in places and situations because he knows you're going to obey him. When you obey him, that gives him permission to come in and deal with whatever he wants to deal with. This is why you have to be a partaker of his grace, a partaker of your leader's grace, because you need that situation you're going to be in that you can't, how I'm going to deal with this? How I'm going to handle this? God, I don't know what to do. But when you rely on that grace, you're empowered. You're empowered. There's no reason to be empowered if you're not going to face impossible situations. Amen. There's no reason to be empowered if you're not going to face tough situations. There's no reason for that. There's no reason for grace to be on you if you're not willing to face situations that nobody's willing to face. So that's why it says, blessed are those that are meek. They shall inherit the earth. Other words, I know I got power. I know God working through me. But God, I don't want nobody to get hurt unnecessarily. I ain't looking for it. Right. But I'm going to be empowered. Amen. Why? Because I'm a partaker of my leader's grace. So God, you connected me and then you got me here. So obviously there's something here that you want to take care of. Amen. Are y'all seeing? You see the importance of being a partaker of your leader's grace. Because just as your leader is trying to establish the kingdom of God in your life, you're being empowered to establish the kingdom of God where you are. Wherever you work, wherever you have, wherever business, where your family is, whatever community you're in, establishing the kingdom of God, establishing his ways of doing things. Seek ye kingdom, his ways of doing things. Are you seeing this? So it's important that you are a part. Listen, hope you listen to me, internet. I hope that you're getting this. A partaker, being a partaker means I'm not trying to get something to leave. I'm not trying to get something to just affect my life. Because remember, now the previous one is that I have the same concerns, right? That's the fourth one, right? I have the same concerns as my leader. So if I have the same concerns, listen to this now, if I have the same concerns, then I have rights to that grace. Listen, you don't want to walk with God without his grace. You don't want to walk with God without his grace. You see Christians all the time walking with God without his grace. Why? Because they're getting whooped. They're facing, because listen, God said, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end.
Right.
So that means that you're going to face some situations anyway. You might as well face them with the grace of God. You might as well face them not in your own power, but in the power of God, which is his grace. Is that making sense? Number six. The sixth mental attitude for those who choose covenant is to develop, watch this, a conscious effort to pay the price to honor and value the relationship. Ruth was willing to pay the price to follow and honor this relationship. She was willing to go to the furthest extent to stay in covenant. She was willing to forsake her own people, her own gods, so that she can be in covenant. One of the things that the apostolic, you must understand with the apostolic, watch this, is that there are going to be some sacrifices that have to be made. Changes, one of the things I love about the apostolic is the accountability of it. There are some things that your leader is going to challenge you on. But because the apostolic is willing, it's going to be you that decide if I'm going to change or not. See, this ain't no forcing. This ain't nothing. Ain't nobody going to force this on you. This is something you have to yield to.
Yes, sir.
So I have to be willing to pay the price. What price? God, I'm willing to change whatever you want me to change. I'm willing to do whatever you're asking me to do. God, watch this now. This is one that's a little tough for us Westerners. It's a little tough for us Westerners to say this. God, my leader, watch this. My leader represents your voice to me. See, that was a little tough. And I can understand why it's a little tough. Because you start dealing with denominations and you start dealing with man making up their own ideas about who God is, control can creep in. But that's one of the things I love about the apostolic is because an apostle doesn't care about your feelings. Doesn't care what you're thinking. Apostle will say, thus said the Lord, this is the direction we're going in, and now you can choose if you're going to do this or not. So now the ball is still on me. I have to be willing. And sometimes in choosing, To follow my leader means there's some things in me that I'm going to have to change. Some decisions I have to make about me. That I can change so that I can be, that's paying the price. Look, well, Ruth had to make some major changes because the original reason why Ruth came is now gone. So she had to make some changes. She had to pay a price. That means she could have easily went back to where she come from, could easily went back to her gods, could have easily done all that. But watch this. It was something she saw in Naomi and the God that Naomi served that caused her to be willing to pay the price. So the question is, do you see in your leader the necessary qualities that you are willing to pay the price? Is that making sense? You will be willing to pay the price. I think that's the last one. I'm not sure. No, we got one more. The seventh mental attitude, I'm trying to finish this because I don't want to take this to the week after. I'm going to get to this eighth chapter. Seventh mental attitude commendable in the life of Ruth is her willingness to take a stand in righteousness so that Naomi could see the full redemption of her land and property. Ruth became instrumental for the total redemption of all that Naomi lost in the past. She became the seed for a new beginning of complete restoration of stature and status in society. 1 Corinthians, the ninth chapter. The first verse. I want y'all, those by internet, watching by internet, I want you to get that particular passage because I want you to read it with us. Everybody there? All right. Ready? Read. Verse 2. Do you see what the Apostle Paul is saying? One of the prevailing attributes of an apostle is his or her fruit that the people are bearing. See, an apostle already hearing the voice of God and is going to obey the voice of God whether we who follow is going to hear it or not. Your apostolic pastor is already hearing from God. They're going to be fine whether you give that tithe or not. But what our production by connecting to our apostle, what I'm talking about Ruth being connected to Naomi, because of Ruth's obedience, was able to get Naomi to reclaim all of her land. When we are producing as followers of our apostolic leaders, it gives them, what's their fruit and what's their land? Other people. So as we produce, we become their fruit. So other people see us producing and want to know what you're doing. Same representation of Ruth allowing Naomi to reclaim all of her land. Because she was obedient, she was able to produce. Naomi was able to collect all of her land back. So our leaders collecting their territories that they've been assigned to because we produce. Now, mind you now, Naomi was going to eventually, on her own, Naomi said, y'all go back, do what y'all going to do, I'm going to be fine. But because Ruth stayed and was connected and was able, watch this, notice what that the last mental attitude is. Stand in righteousness. Mm-hmm. Now, let's define righteousness because, again, righteousness is more than just a position. You know, righteousness is mean I'm in right standing with God. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. But the question is, why am I in right standing with God? For what purpose am I in right standing with God? Just for the sake of being in right standing with God, or there is a purpose to me being righteous? See, when I am in right standing with God, that means I'm in line with him, with his power and his assignment. So it makes no sense to be for me to just be in right standing with God just for the sake of being in right standing with God. Now that I'm aligned right, I can walk right. I can walk in the right direction. I can now do what God is asking me to do because of righteousness. So righteousness is not only a position, it's a way of acting. Not only am I in right position with God, but because I'm in right position to God, I can behave just as God would behave if he was here. That's what righteousness is. See, righteousness is not, see, once again, because we have a self-centered, we've been taught a self-centered gospel, all we see is righteousness. Oh, I'm right with God. Oh, I'm right with God. Okay. It can't mean you're right with God just so you can get to heaven. Because if that was the only purpose, then why are you still here? So righteousness or being in right standing with God must be a position so that I can act from this position. That's why I seek ye first the kingdom of God. Not just seek ye first the kingdom of God, not just seek his ways of doing things and his righteousness and his right way of doing things. I can't know his right way unless I'm positioned. I can't represent God unless I'm redeemed. I can't represent God unless I'm walking in holiness. I can't represent God unless I'm in right position with him. So when I'm positioned right, I can move right. I can move how he wants to move. I can accomplish what he wants to accomplish. I can walk in being empowered, I can walk in his grace. When I do that, it enables, watch this, others to see that my leader apostolically is taking us in the right direction. Don't y'all think for, see, we read the Bible, and I'm closing, we read the Bible, and because the way the Bible written, a lot of times we don't have imaginations. We just read the Bible, and instead of meditating, we just read the Bible and go on. But think about this. The Bible says there were 3 men that came out of Egypt. There was not one sick person among them, and they were all rich, right? So if it's 3 million people, then you got to understand that when Moses gave those instructions for to put that blood over that doorpost, it wasn't, oh, we all gonna do this right away. No, no, no. It had to be some of them that were there that heard Moses, trusted Moses, and begin to do. When they begin to do, others see them that they begin to do. Because you can't tell me out of 3 million people there wasn't nobody in there doubting. Somebody said, this is crazy. This man is out of his mind. We've been in slavery for 400 years. My forefather's been in slavery for 400 years. He gonna tell us we're gonna get out because we're gonna put blood over our doorposts. This is what he's telling me. So us being apostolic, us walking in grace, us getting results, it opens the eyes of other people and it allows our leaders to reclaim territory. So just when you thought it was about you, it's really not about you. Go to the 11th verse. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 11. So before we read this scripture, the 11th verse, some things I want you to see as we read this scripture. Number one, this is Paul putting himself in a position that he has to produce. All right, number one. Number two, we see that I have to be connected to somebody that is producing. Because if they're not producing, then that means I'm not going to produce. All right? So on the count of three, we're going to read verse 11. One, two, three, read. Now let's look at this from a standpoint, because there's conditions there. He said, if we're not sown to you, what, spiritual things? It, why is such a great thing that we reap of your corn, all right? So the first assumption we got to see what Paul is saying is, Paul automatically knows that what he's saying is causing them to be successful. So if my leader is not telling me stuff that caused me to be successful, that's a problem. Because then my leader don't have a right to come and ask me to show fruit, because he or she hadn't told me how to produce. This is why this is an apostolic thing. This is just not a church thing. This is just not, that's why being connected to the grace of your apostolic leader, because you need this grace to go into this world system and produce. Because on your own, you're not going to be able to do it. So you have to be a partaker of a grace to produce. How can I produce if I don't have a grace? So Paul is sitting here and it really is indicting all of the ministerial ranks. Because if you flip that, Paul said, so if I do not sow into you spiritually, I have no right to reap of your carnal. So if you're not telling me how to produce, then don't ask me for some of what I produced. Because essentially I ain't produced nothing, because you ain't told me how to produce. So this is why this is an apostolic thing. That's why I had you to read the first and second verse. Paul said, I'm an apostle. Have I not seen the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm an apostle. If I'm not an apostle to nobody else, I'm an apostle to you. Why? Because you have results. So you shouldn't question the apostleship. You shouldn't question, am I walking in his office? Then he got down to the 11th verse, and he said, well, if I ain't causing you, if what I'm telling you ain't helping you go be successful, then I have no right to ask you for some of your success. So this is a safeguard that the church has been bottlenecked in. Because you got a lot of preachers, fivefold ministry gifts, that refuse to be apostolic. And so God said, okay, no problem. You don't have to be apostolic. Shutting it down. So you're going to have people following you that cannot produce. And eventually people that cannot produce get tired. And they move on. You're going to see that. You're going to see it a lot in the coming future of churches just shutting down. Because they plan church, not being apostolic, don't want to adhere to the divine order of God. And so when you have your leader that don't want to adhere to the apostolic calling of God, to God's divine order, there is no grace. Where there is no grace, there's nothing I can be a partaker of. If I can't be a partaker, I'm going into this world system naked. Can't produce. Can't do nothing. So therefore, I'm not able to attract nobody to recover land, to recover the territory. So that's why we have to make sure that we're connected to an apostolic leader, somebody who's not afraid to say what thus said the Lord, somebody who's not afraid to jack us up, somebody who's not afraid to jerk the slack out of us if necessary. Because I said that I'm willing to pay the price. So I'm willing to change. God, whatever is in me that needs to change, I'm willing to change. And sometimes God is going to cause change to come through your man or woman of God. Amen. So you can't get all upset, get all mad, say, this ain't my church. This is, my season is up. Y'all know what I find funny about that statement? Is that they be using that scripture in Psalms 1 about in the season and my season it up. But I always known seasons to come to trees. Yeah. Trees don't chase after seasons.
That's right.
So that means that tree has
That's right.
Can't move nowhere. Yes, sir. And the seasons come to the tree. Yes. So that foolishness when people talk about my season is up here, that just means I don't like it here no more.
Right.
I don't like what I got to go through, so I'm out. Because a tree is planted, and the seasons come to the tree. Y'all see that?
Yes, sir.
Our exams, again, and we'll make sure you know, is going to be Alliance of Rattle Men, chapters 9 through 11. All right? So exams will be next week, right? Starting Monday. All right? So if you have any questions or anything, any concerns, everybody doing good? Everybody all right with school?
Yes, sir.
Good. All right. Good? All right. I just want to make sure that everybody's doing good. If you have any questions, those that are watching by internet, let me know. Email us. I have myself that's here during the day, myself, Dr. Montrell, Deidre, and Chantel. All of us can help answer any questions, all right? You all have a good night.